Patterns of Praise, Disc 4, Lecture 8, Blessings Over Foods and Grace After Meals.
Okay, we are going to have our last session of the day. We're going to be talking about prayer in the context of blessings, okay? So we've began this whole thing with, you know, what is prayer? What's the purpose of prayer? What exactly is it? What is it supposed to accomplish? How do we connect with Hashem in prayer? How do we connect with God in prayer? What is liturgy? Is it valid? Should we be using it? Putting it back into a Jewish context and looking at it in light of the temple and the services of the temple and so forth. Looking at the prayer book I'm going to pick on Joe for a minute. One part of the Siddur he did not mention was the part that I'm going to talk about, was the blessings over food, okay? But it's natural because when you think of the prayer book, a lot of times we don't think of prayer book in those terms, the Siddur in those terms, because we usually do them in a different context with a separate bencher or something like this, okay? But it's actually inside most of your prayer books, these things that that we're going to be talking about right now. So we're going to be talking about blessings over food and grace after meals, okay? So when most people think about prayer, in your mind, you have sort of this picture of prayer, this concept of prayer, and how it's supposed to look, you know, whether it is, you know, from a tradition that bow your head, close your eyes, or whatever, you know. We have this concept of what prayer should look like. But prayer can take on many different forms. There's really not anything in the scriptures that talks about the posture for prayer in the sense of bowing the head and closing the eyes. There are certain texts that talk about prostrating oneself, about bowing, about lifting the hands and things like that in praise. But we have sort of our tradition that we've had in prayer that we get from whatever affiliations that we've had, denominations or whatever, and that's where we get that. So this is a different type of prayer, and these are blessings. They're called brachot, okay? A bracha is a blessing. Brachot is plural, and these are the things that we bless God for throughout our day, okay? Remember, we start our day, the beginning of the siddur, at the very first of your siddur that you've gotten for the conference, is the Modani. It's the very first blessing you start your day with. I gratefully thank you, O living and eternal King, for you have returned my soul within me with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness. You bless the Lord starting off your day. Well, the goal of prayer and blessings is that we are, according to the sages, they tell us that our goal should be to offer up God at least 100 blessings a day. And you may think, whoa, how can I do that? But if you just live a spiritual life where everything is based on God, everything is connected to God, and we bless Him for everything, then it's no big deal. And when we live a life of prayer, we will far exceed that, okay, in our day-to-day lives. So let's look at the apostolic scriptures in the context of what we're looking at is blessings related to foods, and let's see what it has to say about it. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, this is where Yeshua feeds the multitudes with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, okay? Verse 19 records what he does on the onset of when he's about to break the bread and distribute it, okay? It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Some texts may read a little different, but basically that's what happens. He makes a blessing, okay? When we read this passage, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. First, what blessing did he say? Second, was this tradition of making a blessing before food original to Yeshua, or did he learn it from someone else? Okay, Rabbi David Zaslow, he has written a book called Jesus, First Century Rabbi. He is a traditional Jew that doesn't necessarily believe that Jesus was the Messiah. However, he has written a whole book about him because he's fascinated that he is one of the earliest examples of rabbinic Judaism that we have. Okay, and in his book, he comments saying, he says, "I remember looking at Matthew 14, 19 for the first time, reading about Jesus holding up the loaves and fishes and making a blessing." He says, "I realize it was ironic that every religious Jew today knows the blessing that Jesus might have spoken, but very few Christians do." Isn't that ironic? Okay. What does the word Christian mean? Christ follower or Christ-like, right? Okay. And so if we are placing some kind of label that says that we are to be imitators of the Messiah, then we better know something about what he did so we can imitate it, right? Okay, but Judaism knows this. So let's look at what the Bible actually says about blessings and food, okay? When we as Christians read passages like these in the Apostolic Scriptures, we generally assume that the tradition we see Yeshua engaged in here, like making a blessing before the meal, that he's the source of that. That this tradition originates with him. Because what do? We sit down to a meal. I mean, this is talking about my growing up and my history as a believer. We grew up, sat down to the table. We said, "Lord, thank you for this food, and please help it to nourish our bodies," that kind of thing, you know. And then we all dig in. But we fail to ask the proper questions to allow us to imitate him. What we've done is we've read a passage, and we've either, one, followed a tradition, or we've made up a tradition to try to figure out what he was doing and imitate what he's doing. So what we probably don't realize is this blessing over food prior to eating, first of all, it's not original to Yeshua. It's recorded of him because it was a relatively new tradition in the first century that was beginning to take shape, and this record of it showed Yeshua's approval of it, his endorsement of this tradition, okay? But this invention was really something the rabbis came up with based on their exegesis of Scripture and their understanding of the Scriptures. And up to this point, the only biblical formulation we had for blessing God in relationship to food had been one to bless him after the meal rather than before the meals. This is based on the text of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10. If you want to look that up, I've got it right here, but Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 says, "And you shall eat and be full or satisfied, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you." Okay, this is the biblical instruction to, once you have eaten and you are satisfied, you are now therefore obligated to bless God for that food. Okay, so that's the order. Eat, bless. This tradition of blessing the Lord after meals, however, is not explicitly recorded in the Apostolic Scriptures, okay, what we call the New Testament. As I said in our last session, the reason things like this are not recorded is because they're not necessarily newsworthy. It's like everybody does that. There's no reason to write that down, okay? It's just expected. To show the what I'm talking about by this, and Yeshua's connection with blessing before meals and not blessing after meals being recorded and so forth, similar to Luke's use of the phrase, a Sabbath's day journey, okay? He uses this phrase expecting the people to be familiar with it. They were reading the gospel, his gospel, okay? If you're not familiar with that phrase, now what, okay? But he he used this phrase expecting the readers to be familiar with the Jewish context of how it's being used. And so we've got to keep this in mind. So the authors of the New Testament did record for us that Yeshua made a blessing before partaking of food, showing his affinity with and approval of this Pharisaic innovation of his day. Okay? So let's talk about these blessings before food. By the time the Mishnah was put into writing, this practice was already assumed, okay? As a matter of fact, Tractate Berakot in the Mishnah in chapter 6 begins this way. It says, what blessings are said over fruit? It says, over the fruit of the tree, one says, who creates the fruit of the vine? Except for wine, which one says, who creates fruit of the tree. That's what I should have said. I got ahead of myself. It says, except for the wine, over which one says, who creates the fruit of the vine? Over that which grows from the ground, one says, who creates the fruit of the ground? Except for bread, which one says, who brings forth bread from the earth? Over vegetables, one says, who creates the fruit of the ground? Okay, this is the very beginning of the sixth chapter of Tractate Berakot in the Mishnah. So, this is the recorded ruling for the specific wording of these blessings that we're going to be talking about. These originated and these became formulated to solve a problem that the rabbis saw. They saw that according to the scriptures, it seemed as if man was forbidden to enjoy anything in this world without saying a blessing. Okay? And so this is what how they interpreted this. It says, our rabbis have taught, it is forbidden to a man to enjoy anything of this world without a benediction. And if anyone enjoys anything of this world without a benediction, he commits sacrilege. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, to enjoy anything of this world without a benediction is to make personal use of things consecrated to heaven. Since it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24:1. Okay, this is the principle behind this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, God created it, He made it, He owns it, it's His. He put us in this world to exist and to live and to be blessed and to bless Him and bless others. But guess what? He still owns it all. And we are stewards here. He didn't put us here to just say, go play. Okay? We're still to have that connection with Him. And remember that everything is through Him. Everything that we receive, every good thing, every blessing is only by the hand of heaven. So before one makes a bracha or a blessing, the food belongs only to the Lord. And we're not permitted to take of it based on this passage in Psalm. By making a bracha or a blessing, we both acknowledge that the Lord is the source of the food we eat. And we express our appreciation to Him for providing for us. Okay? So, let's talk about the various blessings here. The determining factor for uttering the correct blessing over food and drink is based on sort of a hierarchical categorization, if I can say it, going from most specific to least specific. Okay? So, the first thing that we have is bread. Bread is sort of like, if you want to think of it this way in terms of if you play cards, whatever, bread is the ace of spades, okay? So if a product is considered bread, then it receives its own special blessing and it trumps whatever else you have if you're eating it as a meal, okay? Next, we have a special category, grape wine or grape juice, depending on your preferences. Scott McKnight says, he says, in Italy, they do something to that grape juice that makes it so good. So, then we have a category of products other than bread that are made from grain. And we're going to be a little bit more specific than this here in a little bit. Then after that, we have a category of fruit of the tree. Okay, this is next category. And then we have a separate category, fruit of the ground. Lastly, we have a category that's the catch-all, okay? It's the one everything else falls into. If it can't fit into one of these other categories, it automatically gets lumped into this category. What? Yeah, most junk food will fit. No, not necessarily, which is a long conversation. But so this actually is going to be milk and meats and eggs and stuff like that too. Water, okay? A lot of junk food will fit into this category though. So let's begin by breaking these down and learning the blessings for each of these things. So, first of all, we have bread. And let me explain what I mean by bread. This includes bread made from one or more of the five species of grains identified by our sages as being indigenous to Haaretz, the land of Israel. Okay? This includes wheat, barley, rye, spelt, or oat. Okay? And if you want to remember that easily, you can think of the acronym BROWSE, like I browse, BROWS. BROWSE, it's barley, rye, oat, wheat, and spelt. Okay. So for instance, bread made from millet or legumes, they would not be included in this. Okay? So Miss Judy never has to worry about making the blessing for bread, okay? Okay, the blessing for bread is, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And if you've ever done Kiddush for Sabbath, you're familiar with this blessing, okay? Interesting little side note on this, the Talmud records a disagreement between Rabbi Nehemiah or Rabbi Nehemiah and the rabbinic majority. Rabbi Nehemiah said the blessing for bread, the ending part, who brings forth bread from the earth, he said this refers to Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, where bread literally grew on trees. Okay? The rabbis, however, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? The rabbis, however, said it referred not to Gan Eden, not to the Garden of Eden, but it refers to the Messianic era, the time ahead, the future, a time when bread will be abundantly available without the toil of our present day. The majority, and therefore the official Jewish position today, identifies the bread of the blessing that we do here as the bread of the Messianic era. Okay? So every time we make a blessing for bread, we're giving thanks and looking forward to and anticipating more than just our next meal. We're connecting with the future time and a hope of this Messianic era in which food will be abundant and free of the toil of labor that it currently takes to provide for ourselves. Okay? This blessing includes not just a loaf of bread, but it includes things like matzah, the unleavened bread that you eat at Passover, rolls, English muffins, and if you're like cornbread, if you use wheat flour in it, then that would be included in it. Pizza, if you eat it as a meal, and tortillas, okay, or as one of our friends say, tortillas, okay. So this includes those, because I haven't got them on the screen, but these things are made with one of the five grains, and they're used as a bread substitute. They're used in place of bread, okay? Eaten as bread with your meal, the main portion of your meal, okay? The next category is grape wine or grape juice, okay? This is a strict category that includes grape juice, grape is the key word, and wine made from grapes. Other fruit juices or wine from other fruits are not included in this blessing. Okay? And the blessing for this is, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. So, grape wine and grape juice are different from other foods in that they are reserved for special use. Historically, they've been used for religious purposes, okay? And grape wine or grape juice is used for Kiddush, which Joe was talking about earlier, which serves to sanctify the Sabbath and other holy days. Now, something, I was talking to a rabbi a few weeks back, and I was asking him about what constitutes kosher wine other than the obvious, okay? Not throwing some kind of lard in it or something, right? So, like hundreds of years ago, there would be problems with having wine being kosher simply for the fact that they would use ingredients for clarifying the wine, such as organs of animals or even blood or things like that. They would add to it that the lees and things would be attracted to, make them heavy and fall to the bottom of the wine, okay? And that way they could pour off the top of the contents and it'd be not as gritty or whatever. You know, it'd be more clear. Nowadays, we don't use primitive methods like that. And so, therefore, the ingredients really have nothing to do with whether a wine is kosher or not these days, okay? It has to do with the intention of the one making the wine. If he is intentionally making it for religious purposes or pagan use, or if he's going to pour out a libation to a false god, okay? So this is really the intention and why kosher wines are in a category all on their own is because of the religious uses of wine historically. Next, we have grain products. The blessing for grain products is, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who creates various kinds of nourishment. Okay? This is a broad category that includes food that is made from grain, but that is not necessarily bread. That's not bread, period. Okay? This is basically a default blessing when there's doubt as to whether or not an item is bread. This includes things like cakes and pastries, pancakes, most crackers and cereals, pastas, and other cooked grain products such as couscous. Okay? So this is sort of the category here. Everybody got that? The next one, fruit of the trees. This includes things such as garden vegetables, legumes, pickles, mashed potatoes, french fries, potato latkes, all that yummy stuff, and I'm getting hungry. The blessing for this is, blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit from the earth, not tree. Okay? So, don't copy that verbatim. Fruit from the tree, I mean the earth. Good grief, can't even say it right. Now, I don't know about where you live, but where I live, french fries don't grow on trees. Yes. Oh, thank you. Did I skip trees? I did skip trees. Okay, that's why. Okay. So there you go. See? I knew it wasn't fully crazy. So let's go back to trees. Fruit of the trees, the blessing is, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth fruit from the tree. Okay, this includes things that you normally think of, such as apples, oranges, figs, dates, pomegranates, walnuts, pecans, olives, etc. The things that grow on trees, okay? However, we do have some exceptions, so you have to have some halakhic authority or a resource that you can refer to on some of this stuff. For instance, one that was very confusing when we first started learning about this is bananas. Bananas do not fall into this category. Bananas fall under the next one, fruit of the ground. Does anybody know why? Say again? No bark, right. It's not considered a tree. A banana, quote, tree, is not considered a tree rabbinically nor botanically, okay? It's not even classified as a tree. It's classified as a plant, okay? It doesn't have bark. It's not a woody type tree. Now, here's another weird thing. Grapes, if you eat grapes by themselves, they do fall underneath this category of blessing. fruit of the tree because they come from a woody bark stem, okay? And blueberries would most likely, I don't have a definitive answer on that, I have to look that up, but I would assume they would, yes. Because from what I understand, blueberries, and I've picked them off the bush, they have a woody, you know, type thing as well. So this is what we need to keep in mind. So technical things here, okay? Fruit of ground, we've already done that. Now we have the category of everything else. This includes, what I said, anything that doesn't fit into these previous categories, such as meat, dairy, fish, okay, eggs, ice cream, most beverages, including water, broth, candies, most candies, and mushrooms, okay? And the blessing for this is different from all the rest. It's blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, by whose word all things came into existence. Shechon yeh bivaro. Okay? By whose word all things came into existence. So really the focus of what this is, and the reason why this is important is we need to be cultivating a lifestyle of both prayer and gratefulness. We need to be grateful. We need to be thankful with every single thing that we partake of. If we are able to enjoy it, then God needs to be blessed for it. Amen? Okay? So we need to connect every blessing, every benefit, every enjoyment in this life back to God and His blessings, Him allowing us to be blessed in our lives. Okay? So lastly, the other thing is grace after meals. This is what we do to give thanks after we've eaten according to the actual blessing. We have little benchers that we can use, but this is what's called beautifying the commandment. We could say thank you, and that'd be the end of it. But who knows that when someone says thank you is one thing, but when they say thank you so much, you blessed me, and I'm so thankful that you did that for me. How many of you know that makes a difference, right? Okay? And so this is what it's about. We beautify the commandment. And so this little book and others like it are used to bless the Lord. And we're going to be teaching you guys some from that tonight and tomorrow during our meals as well. Okay? And so we're going to stop there and we're going to break. We're going to pray Minka. You'll be dismissed. And we'll come back here at 7:30 for our evening meal and to enter into the Sabbath together.